Yo from Honorable Matale Castle. We will welcome, these are the members of the Portfolio Committee. We have Honorable Stein. We have Honorable Jaisa Matakiela. We have Honorable Nkosi Tebekulu. Nkosi Tebekulu, I'm trying to introduce you to the new member, so if you can just wait so that you can know in September. And we have Honorable Sesimpo Chongwane. And then you have Honorable, what's your name? Paulson. And I forgot because they changed the appearances to this VS.
I'm
doing
my application. I'm not just calling.
Okay, all right. So, and then we have Honorable Young Blood, and then we have Honorable Tapo. I suppose you know Minister. So welcome, Honorable Members, and today is a continuation of the meeting that we had on the plant breeders riot bill and plant improvement bill. So today we'll be looking at clause by clause and deliberations on the bill. I'm going to we have the representative of state lawyer there here. We have the lawyers from Parliament, so they are going to lead us in that discussion. So we'll take clause by clause, Honorable Members. Are you ready? Lisa Kim, are you ready? Are you ready? No, you see, if we don't have it there, Honorable Saints going to measure, so we'll not proceed. It's going to take us there throughout. So it must appear there so that we can see. You are going to close the mouth today. No, don't.
I just want to ask a question again. I can't remember as we did discuss it, but can I just be reminded we're going to have two registrars from the department. I was looking at it again and I wasn't sure. There's going to be two registrars dealing with the different. I just wanted to check that again. And then on that day, the money. Why do we need a lot of money? I can't remember. I know we did ask that question in the beginning.
What you must keep those questions because we are going to, I think we are deliberating. Yes, and then you can raise it at that close when we arrive at that close. Let's raise it. It's not in the
Cost to the department chair. It's in the back as
on the on memorandum.
No.
But because we're deliberating clause by clause, we can even discuss, because it's part of the memorandum, because it's the gist of what the bill is going to achieve and is detailed. So let's deal with them at the if it's not appearing at a particular clause, then we can then raise it as we finalize the bill. Honorable members, you can have some tea in the meantime as we try to set up the system. Mister, you can serve yourself the tea.
Thank you.
we can start the presenter is ready, but let me acknowledge the approaches of the Deputy Minister, Honorable Bessie Cele, and the DG. Will not be able to attend because of the other engagement. But we just want to remind the department again that Agricultural Day is Tuesday. So any commitment that you take, you must know that we are saying we are not going to attend agriculture. So, and then Honorable Member from the GA will be leaving it. Yes, we'll leave at 11 o'clock. Honorable Sultan will not be able to attend. Those are the apologies that we have. Parliament leader, are you not supposed to sit there next to state lawyer? I'm a lawyer, my family is right. Minister, you can have your seat there, Minister. Let's bring the lawyers inside the circle. Minister, you can have this seat here so that Yeah. Oh, ma'am, the minister is in the left, so we're not in the right. Department, are you not coming? Oh, well, I'm going to give you a break at 1 o'clock. We can continue the engagement. Let's start, Honorable Member. By 1 o'clock, we must be out here because there is another committee that is sitting at 1. We are in your hands.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to all the members and greetings to everyone in the House. Chairperson, I will start with the bill that is bill number 8, which is the plant improvement bill. And what has happened basically is that the amendments that the committee deliberated and adopted last time and were approved by the committee have been now incorporated into the bill, and that is the bill that is on the screen, which is B8, the B bill version of the plant improvement. Basically, Chairperson, I will go through the bill showing the highlighted places in yellow, which incorporates the changes that were indicated in our previous meeting. I will go as indicated on the agenda that we will do it clause by clause, so when I also move through the bill, I will follow that process. In clause 1, which is the definition clause, the only amendment that was to go through there was a consequential amendment in terms of the numbers with regards to the provision that deals with regulations. Is the definition for regulation. Which only changes the number there as originally there was a 55 which had to be changed to 58, and now if you read that, it means regulation is explained as regulation made in terms of section 58 of this bill. And then that is all with regards to clause 1. Then we move to the next clause. Guided by the A-list, it will be it is clause 26. Thank you.
Why do you ask such a question? Okay. Honorable Nonomlo is the member of the ANC. The whip of the ANC. Yes. Replacing Honorable Matagwa. No, he's blaming the committee. He's not replacing anybody. Yes. Everyone is missing the research page that I'm using. Who can check the bill? It's our own, it's not the department we say. It's us, it's the parliament. It's me. Yeah, probably it's me. Yes, so my apologies. It's not department. So. I think people can concentrate looking there because he has got a correct bit. So we can look there and then, yeah. So in the meantime, they'll correct that. Then we start discussion. Which has got the those pages.
So in clause 26, chapter 10, the amendment was to change that yellow part, which says it must be all by Minister in terms of section 50, because the changes here were affected by the changes that made on the appeal processes. So the correction has been corrected there as it appears, and this is the version that the committee would like to approve and adopt. Then the next clause is clause 38. Which also sought to only change one way in clause 38 subsection 2. Where the registrar may evaluate, initially it was saying may investigate. So it was proposed that we change the word investigate to evaluate, which has been done here on the detailed version. Clause 38 on page 17 of the B version. I'm asking my learned friend here to assist me as I talk through and then he moves the headers. And as you can see, we changed investigate to evaluate there. And then the next clause is clause 47, which are basically all the clauses relating to the appeal processes. And we have now changed them to separate them and put them clearly. So the original clause 47 was rejected so that we may put the new appeal process. On the content, there was not much that was changed, but we're just separating the one section that had been drafted into one clause and made it into different topics. As it will now appear that we have the right to appeal, which basically determines that the minister is the one who must address all appeals in relation to this act. However, there are two processes as was indicated. the minister may decide on whether they go, he or she appoints the appeal board, and then the process is extended from clause 48 until 49, and then clause 50 is the second option, which speaks to either when the minister does the appeal without appointing the board. So those are changes highlighted in yellow and highlighted there. Then the next amendments, which are basically more technical in relation to what we had to add at clause 49, which in the new bill, in the new B bill, will become clause 52. So in the bill version that we have, it is clause 52. On the last part of section 10, we had the, as the committee indicated, we were adding that the remuneration of the members of the advisory committee would be prescribed after the consultation with the Minister of Finance. And then we move to clause 56, which clause 56, because of the changes on the appeal processes, it will now be a new 59, and there it was consequential amendments on clause 59, subsection M and N. We were basically changing those sections so that there is proper referencing with the changes that were caused by the appeal processes that were affected. And then the next clause is clause 57, which has also changed into a new number due to those inserted ones, and it's now clause 60. Again, there is a consequential reference that we had to make sure that we make reference to the proper section. That is now section 59, and that has been affected as well. The same applies for clause 54, for clause 60, which is now clause 53 on the B bill. Again, there we had to remove 55, which was the original reference, into the new section, which is section 58. And then at clause 63, it's a consequential correction that will be done through the processes, but as we know, 63, which is now a new 66, that is the commencement provision. It's just that because the bill was introduced in 2015, it will have now since we are still processing it, so that all the changes, once they go through, the committee is aware that we didn't insert new things. That 2015 will also change into the current year as we are going through still processing this proposed legislation. Then the final change is on the schedule, also affected because of the changes in numbering. We were changing 66 to reflect that it's in reference to section 55. All the repeal laws are dealt with in clause 65 of the bill, which will eventually be section 70, section 65. Then on the last part, it deals with arrangement of sections, which must also be changed because of these changes. So basically, in this bill, we have done all the amendments that were proposed and affected them on the B version as it has been indicated. Because even if we look there, the appeal process was previously on the previous bill, it was section 41. But now it has consequentially caused those changes that it will now, all the numbers from 47 up until the end of the bill have been shifted. And those are basically the changes on the BHB bill, the plant improvement bill. The second bill, Chairperson, would be, unless perhaps we stop here at the direction from the Chairperson, or we move to the next bill, which is the Plant Breeders B11.
Let's discuss the first bill first, and then we'll then go to the second one. So we can then go into clause by clause. We'll take us through the clause and then members deliberate the adoption.
We start with the arrangement of sections. As you can see, the changes have been effected there. said adult chess.
Honourable members, are we happy that those our is our amendment before we go into discussion? Honourable State?
Yes, Chair, but I think it would be helpful if we then now start the clause by clause and then we can go through, because it's difficult if I don't sit with it in front of me to go up and down and looking at it, so that we actually start the clause by clause and we can see it. But I don't think at this time we reach the problem, but when we do the clause by clause, maybe there's something that we pick up, because it's difficult if we scroll up and down between the sections if we don't have the correct bill in front of us.
So we must check whether, because we are dealing with clause by clause, you have the right basis. Do you have the right copies, all of us? Okay. Because they're still arranging that we get correct copies, let's go to the second bill, look at those amendments through this, through the screen there. Yeah. Let's go to the second bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. The second bill is the client data rights bill. On the plan for the rice bill, we start with clause 1. On clause 1, it was again the changes that had to be effected on the numbering. On the advisory committee, since the section that deals with the advisory committee is no longer 42, we had to change it to 45, and that appeared there, and that was the amendment in number 1. And the next one also is an amendment in respect of regulation. Regulation also is no longer the old 51, but it had to be changed to be the new 54, which were the changes impacted on by the appeal processes. And then the next amendment is on clause 15. Clause 15, which substituted the original section 4 into what the new provision is providing. It was not so much of the content change, but it was basically paraphrasing for clarity and making sure that it's clearer than the original provision, which perhaps maybe was not as clear. But it's not a crucial content change, except that it was just changing the preference of wording there and there. That is clause 15 in respect of section 4. Then the next amendment is on clause 4, I mean clause 17, which also sought to amend subsection 3. So it's 17 subsection 3. Again here, it was changes to enable the applicant to provide the relevant information when this provision is being implemented. The next clause was clause 23, which also is making an amendment to subsection 1. Again, it was a change in just the preference of the grammar. An applicant for the grant of a plan bidder's right must subject to approval of the registrar propose a denomination that complies with the prescribed requirements. That was the old one. And the new one was suggesting that we rephrase it as An applicant for the grant of a plant breeder's rights must propose a denomination that complies with the prescribed requirements, and such denomination is subject to the approval of the register. That was basically the change there. And then the next clause is clause 38. Clause 38 in subsection 3. Again there, we were removing the board as contemplated in section 41 to cancel the plant breeder's rights. Instead of the board, it was as deliberated changed into the minister. So the changes can either be made if it's an order of the court or if it's by the minister instead of the board. So if it's the minister, the change also has to relate to the provision that relates to the empowerment or enabling provision of the minister, which is section 44. The next change is on clause 41. Clause 41 is chapter 12, which are all the provisions that, as we indicated, they deal with the appeal process. And so because we separated them into separate sections rather than having one section, that is where all the changes in respect of the numbering of the other clauses also was impacted. And so from clause 41 up until clause 44 is the appeal process. Then the original clause 43 in subsection 10, which has been changed into the new It's now the new 45. Subsection 10, we have to add the part where it indicates that the remuneration of the advisory committee will be prescribed after consultation with the Minister of Finance. Then the next amendment is that which was to be effected on clause 46, which is now a new 49 in terms of this bill. And that was in relation of subsection 6, which relates to the registrar being empowered to search and enter the premises without a warrant, but in an instance where a competent person has granted the consent. That change has also been effected. It was basically, it's still the same except that it was changing the words the person authorized into the competent person to provide the consent. And that was deliberated on the previous meeting of the committee and adopted. Then the next clause relates to clause 52, which has also changed into a new 55, and it's in respect of the proper referencing injection. It's 55-2H. We had to change the number 50 there into number 53, which is the new proper reference section. And then the next amendment relates to clause 55, which has also changed into being a new clause 58. As you can see, it was also a reference that was changing 51 into 54. And then another consequential amendment due to referencing is in respect of clause 56, which now becomes clause 59. We also had to make sure that the proper sections are correlating there. So 57 that appears in that section had to change into section 60. Then another similar change in respect of the year when the bill will be asserted into. Hopefully if it's 2016, then that 2015 will also automatically change. But we just brought that into the attention of the committee. And then the last one is in respect of the schedule that repeals the laws that must be repealed. It was section 57 initially before the changes, but now that changes into the new section 60, and that also had to be corrected. And then as per the drafting standards, we go back to the arrangement of sections, which has also been corrected to reflect all these changes to ensure that the bill is processed smoothly without confusion and without leaving anything unattended to. Those basically were the amendments that have been adopted and incorporated into both the bills. Hence, we now have the B version of the bill, which is the bill that the committee will now go through clause by clause.
because I'm not here yet. So you do have it in the in your laptop. I need to reflect to my flaws. Yeah, let's do that because we can't wait forever.
We will continue with the bill that is already on the screen, which is the Black Raiders from its beginning, and will go to Cross by Cross. I will read all the new changes. In Clause 1, the definition clause.
Yes,
Chair, I'm not so sure, but I think we must start and read every word from the beginning. The cover page must be read word by word, four words.
Okay. There is the copies for the plant improvement bill. So let's start with this. Members will have it. Let's start with it. Because we are debating clause by clause, you even start reading the titles, and so that you get members to agree, even in terms of the titles, and then we read one first clause, and then we check with them. And then if we check with them, and if there is anything that needs to be amended, then we can then give them a chance to do that.
Thank you, Chairperson. On the first page of the Plant Improvement Bill, the name of the bill is Plant Improvement Bill as amended by the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. The English text is the official text of the bill. And the name of the bill is now BHB of 2015. It will automatically change when the processes are finalized and effected through, when it goes through to the president, but as a bill it will remain with that number it initially started with. Then there were no changes that were done on the preamble of the bill. However, to provide for the registration of certain types of business relating to plant and propagating material intended for cultivation and sale, and the registration of premises on or from which that business is conducted, quality standards for plant and propagating material intended for cultivation and sale, and conditions of sale of plants and propagating material, a system for national listing of plant varieties, the evaluation of plant varieties in order to ensure value if there is doubt in respect of the value for cultivation, and use of plant varieties intended for cultivation and sale, import and export control of plant and propagating material, and a system for different types of schemes for plant and propagating material, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Be it enacted by the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa as follows. The arrangement of sections are as indicated, with definitions, applications of the Act, registrar and administration, and the subsections that will fall there. Chapter 3, which deals with registration of business and premises, and each section from section 9 until section 21. Chapter 4, conditions for sale of plants and propagating material, with two sections. Chapter 5, national varietal list, with three sections. Chapter 6, application for national listing, with sections from 27 until 32. Chapter 7, dealing with variety denominations, with two sections, and Chapter 8, Evaluation for Distinctness, Uniformity and Stability, with three provisions, as well as Chapter 9, which addresses the value for cultivation and use, and it has one provision, and Chapter 10, addressing the hearing of objections, with one section, and Chapter 11, National Varietal Leaf Journal, with one section, and Chapter 12, which addresses the inspections, with two sections, and chapter 13, which deals with import and export of plants and propagating material with two sections, and chapter 14, which addresses the scheme with two provisions, and chapter 15, which is basically the new chapter addressing the appeal process, and it has section 47, the right to appeal, section 48, appeal board composition and membership, and clause 49, which addresses investigation and consideration by board, and clause 50, which addresses the appeal considered by the minister. Then it's chapter 16, which deals with the provisions in respect of the advisory committee, and then it's chapter 17, which are general provisions, with starting with clauses from clause 55 until clause 61, until clause 66, which is the short title and commencement of the act. Then it will be the schedule, and the schedule lists out the laws that are repealed, and that is in terms of the preamble, the long title, as well as the arrangement of sections.
Any members on the arrangement? Agreed? Yes, let's proceed.
The next provision is the clause 1, which deals with definitions. If I may just add, Chairperson, that in terms of the rules, we're not necessarily having to read clause by clause, but as indicated, that perhaps I should read everything, or should I only read that part which has an amendment? Just for clarity, Chairperson. And considering the time frame.
Let me check with members. How do you want to, because it doesn't have to go read all the information, because we had the bill before. Raj was been interacting with the bill, so honorable say.
Chair, I don't want to disagree with the state law advisors and parliamentary advisors, but we were told that we must read the whole bill as like clause by clause, every word. So I just want to check on that, because if we don't have to do it, I'm happy with that, but that's what I was told in the past. And that's what we've done in the past.
Actually, that is the intention of this, to confirm, because we don't have to come back and say, I didn't see this one passing. So that is the intention of reading it clause by clause. So that's why we're checking with members. If it's comfortable, so that when we jump something that you later remember, you don't come back and say, no. It's because we've not read clause by clause. So this is the opportunity to read clause by clause. But if we think we might fall asleep as we were proceeding, so we can just say definition, and we then discuss whether there's any input around the issue of definition. We don't have to allow them to read it. You can read it yourself as we discuss. So it depends on us. Honorable Maloy and Trapper, Honorable Trapper, and then Honorable Say.
No, Chair, I'm going to suggest that what we must do is focus on amendments, areas where we have amended. We can then talk to those amendments instead of reading sentence by sentence in each and every clause. Because I assume that this is now a bill of the Portfolio Committee, and the Portfolio Committee have interacted with this bill and have suggested that certain amendments must be made into the bill, so the interest will be on those amendments. Because say you would have done all other things previously.
Honorable Papa.
Thank you. First of all, I'm likely to be empowered by the people who have been there in the before, because I've not been there. But I was under the impression or a feeling that the members of the committee, I believe that the matter of and have been dealing with it and have suggested all the amendments. That says to me that maybe the way she was trying to go through it, it would be sufficient. But if the members would be somehow able to pick something that was missing in all the amendments, that would happen. So I'm almost say I'm agreeing with her. honorable member was raising this.
Honorable Steve?
Chair, I would feel comfortable to read everything. I don't know, that's the way I was trained, and that's how I think we must do. We must just proceed. We mustn't fall asleep. We must just do it quickly and maybe give the person that's reading a breathing space and two or three people can read the chair.
Honorable
Jason,
Honorable
Matan. I think the bill has been without. No, we should just consider the members' sessions. Because you should have read all these bills.
Honorable Matan.
Thanks, Chair. I don't know why the law advisor is putting us in this. You're a law advisor. Yeah, I don't know why she's putting us in this difficult situation, because this matter was attended to when we started, and in the course of presenting, she decided to put, you know, when the bicycle wheel turns and you put a spanner on the wheel, she did that, and all of a sudden, dealing with procedural issues, and I thought that matter does not arise. If she could continue to do what she was doing in the beginning, we wouldn't be discussing this matter. Unless if the ruling by the chair then was not a ruling, and I take it it was a ruling that we must go clause by clause. That's why we have to wait for everything to come, and she galloped through, and I think if she can continue galloping with the schedule and the definition, this matter won't arise, because I think, you know, bills are their standard way of doing them, and sometimes the way of doing it can be laborious, and you might want to take a shortcut, and when you go into the house, somebody can raise their hand and say, we didn't do it clause by clause, and you know, we will not have a leg to stand on. And I think let's just continue with what she was doing, and she mustn't, in the course of presenting, ask the difficult questions again, which should have been asked in the beginning of the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
I think Honorable Matale summed up. Let's proceed, honorable members, because we can agree that individual members of parliament, when we arrived in the sitting, when we're supposed to get the House to adopt the bill, might stand up and say, we've not done it clause by clause, and the bill will be referred back again. So let's just be patient, and we still have next week. We don't have to. In a hurry. Let's close it, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, members. We are on clause 1, which deals with definitions. In this act, unless the context indicates otherwise, agent means a person domiciled and resident in the Republic who has been duly authorized by the creator of a variety to act on his or her behalf for filing an application for national living. Applicant for national living means the creator of a variety who makes an application for national listing in terms of Section 28. Authorized person means a person other than an employee authorized in terms of Section 3, Subsection 5A. Breeder, in relation to a variety contemplated in Section 28, means A, the person who bred or discovered and developed the variety. B, the employer of the person contemplated in paragraph A, if that person is an employee whose duties are such that the variety was bred or discovered and developed in the performance of those duties. Or C, the succession in title of the person contemplated in paragraph A, or the successor of the employer contemplated in paragraph B. Business means the business contemplated in section 9. Cleaning, in relation to seed, means the removal of other material and other seed from propagating material, either manually or mechanically, in order to improve the general quality thereof. Conditioning, in relation to propagating material of plant variety, means A, cleaning, drying, coating, sorting, grading, or packaging of the material. B, it means clapping for germination and vigor, or C, any other similar treatment undertaken for the purposes of preparing the material for cultivation and sale. Denomination, in relation to a variety entered in the national varietal list or the regional varietal list, means that denomination contemplated in section 33 that has to be used at all times in connection with the plant and propagating material of the variety in question. Department, means the department responsible for agriculture. Designated authority, means the authority contemplated in section 45, subsection 6A. Employee, as the meaning described to it in section 1 of the Public Service Act, 1994, proclamation number 103 of 1994, but does not include an employee contemplated in the definition of breeder. Kind of plant, means a group of plants of the same pattern. Level means the piece of paper, plastic or fabric attached to a plant or container containing the prescribed information regarding the identity and source of the plant or propagating material in the container, and labeling and labels have a corresponding meaning. Laboratory means a facility where plants are propagating material are tested, examined or analyzed in respect of the physical or biological property thereof, or the occurrence of insects or pathogens thereon, or therein, or the elimination of pathogens or reward or for making and labeling for purposes of selling. Mark means the written or printed identification of the plant on a marker or of the contents of the container on a label affixed such container, and mark and marking have a corresponding meaning. Minister means the minister responsible for agriculture. National listing means the inclusion of a variety denomination in national varietal list. National varietal list means the list kept in terms of section 24. Nursery means a business where plant propagating material is propagated and grown for sale. Pack means to pack propagating material or cause it to be packed into containers which are sealed and branded, marked or labeled in the prescribed manner with the prescribed information. Plant includes any part of a plant. Premises means premises contemplated in section 10. Pre-pack means to pack propagating material into containers of limited size, mostly for sale at retail outlets, which complies with the prescribed requirements. In the mass or quantity prescribed in respect thereof, the containers being in compliance with the prescribed requirements, sealed and rendered marked or labeled in the prescribed manner with the prescribed information. Prescribed means prescribed by regulation. Propagating material means any reproductive or vegetative material of a plant from which, whether alone or in combination with other parts or products of that plant, another plant with the same characteristics can be produced. Regional varietal list means the regional varietal list maintained by the designated institution of the Southern African Development Community. Register means the person contemplated in section 3, subsection 1. Regulation means the regulation made in terms of section 58. Scheme means the certification of other schemes established in terms of section 45. Sell includes agree to sell or to offer, keep, expose, send, convey or deliver for sale. And B, to exchange or to otherwise dispose of to any person in any manner. This act includes the regulation. Trademark means a registered trademark in terms of the Trademark Act 1993, Act No. 194 of 1993. Variety means plant grouping within a single botanical person of the lowest known rank, which grouping can be A, defined by the expression of a characteristic resulting from a given genotype or combination of genotypes, distinguished from any other plant grouping by the expression of at least one of the said characteristics and considered as a unit with regard to its suitability for being propagated unchanged. That is clause 1. It is adopted, and we
anything on the definition? Agree? Okay.
There are two chapters, application of X. 2.1, this act applies to such kinds of plants for agricultural, industrial and forestry production as the minister may declare by noticing the gazette for the purposes of this act. Subsection 2, any person who desires to have a kind of plant declared in terms of subsection 1 must submit an application with the registrar in the prescribed manner. That is clause 2.
Anything on clause 2? Agreed.
Clause 3, designation of registrar and delegation. 3.1, subject to the Public Service Act, 1994, Proclamation No. 103 of 1994, and following the recruitment processes prescribed by and in terms of that Act, the Minister must appoint and designate a person as the Registrar of Plant Improvement. Subsection 2, the Registrar is the authority to whom the registration of a type of business and premises, national listing, import and export control, certification schemes and enforcement of quality control is entrusted and must perform the functions entrusted to the registrar under this Act. Subsection 3, the registrar must appoint such number of technical and administrative persons as are necessary to support him or her in the performance of his or her functions in terms of this Act, following the recruitment procedure of the Public Service Act 1994, Proclamation No. 103 of 1994. Subsection 4, the Office of the Registrar serves as the national authority and contact point with the national authorities of other countries and regional authorities for matters relating to national listing, certification and quality control of plant and propagating material. Subsection 5, paragraph A, the Registrar may delegate to any competent employee or subject to the approval of the Minister, delegate to a person other than an employee the performance of any function entrusted to the registrar under this Act. B. Any decision made or order given by such employee or person must be regarded as having been made by the registrar. The registrar may withdraw or amend any decision or order contemplated in paragraph B, subject to any rights that may have vested as a consequence of such decision or order. That is clause 3. Clause 4, exercise of discretionary powers by registrar. 4, subsection 1, subject to the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act 2000, Act No. 3 of 2000, paragraph 8. Any discretionary power conferred on a registrar in terms of this Act, other than the power conferred in terms of section 43, subsection 3A, subparagraph I, 1, must not be exercised by him or her to the prejudice of any applicant or any other person who appears to the registrar to be an interested party without giving such applicant or such other person an opportunity to be heard within such period as may be prescribed, or if no period has been prescribed within such reasonable period as the registrar may determine. And B, an applicant or other person referred to in paragraph A may waive the right to be heard. Subsection 2, whatever a period is specified under this Act within which any act or anything must be done, the registrar may, except where otherwise expressly provided, extend the time. That is clause 4. Clause 5, registrar of businesses and premises.
I must get your voice. Yes, because we're doing
the
formal thing here.
Clause 5, sub 1, the registrar must keep a register in which the prescribed information and particulars in respect of every business and premises registered in terms of section 12 must be entered. Sub 2, the registrar must be open for inspection at the office of the registrar. Sub 3, the registrar must furnish at the request of any person and upon payment of the prescribed fee a cost of any particulars in the register. That's clause 5. Clause 6, register of varieties. Sub 1, the registrar must keep a register in which the prescribed particulars in respect of all applications for national listing in terms of this Act must be entered. Sub 2, the registrar must be open for inspection at the office of the registrar. Sub 3, the registrar must furnish at the request of any person and upon payment of prescribed fee a copy of any particulars in the register. That's clause 6.
Okay.
7, register to be evident. Sub 1, the register referred to in sections 5 and 6 are prima facie evidence of all matter directed or authorized by this Act to be noted therein. Sub 2, a copy of an entry in the register or an extract from the register certified by the registrar may be admitted in evidence in any court without further proof or production of a register. That is clause 7. Inspection of documents submitted in connection with applications for national listing, sub 1. Any person may inspect any document submitted in connection with an application for national listing at a reasonable time and upon payment of a prescribed fee. Sub 2. The register must furnish the person contemplated in subsection 1 upon payment of a prescribed fee with a copy of the document contemplated in that subsection. Sub 3, notwithstanding subsections 1 and 2 but subject to subsection 4, a person may not A. inspect that part of the document in question that contains information in respect of the name of each variety used in the breeding program and in respect of the manner in which the variety was bred. B. Be furnished with a copy of the part of the document referred to in paragraph A or C. Inspect or be furnished with a copy of any other prescribed confidential information. Sub 4. Subsection 3 does not apply to A, the applicant, B, the applicant's authorized agent, or C, any other person who has to inspect that part of the document or information contemplated in subsection 3 in the course of the performance of a function entrusted to him or her in terms of this case. That would be clause 8.
Great.
Chapter 3 and clause 9. Types of business that may be conducted. Any person who desires to conduct one or more of the following types of businesses, relating to plant or propagating material for cultivation and sale, must be registered in terms of the Act and must comply with the prescribed requirements, unless exempted in terms of Section 19. Sub A. The claiming and commissioning of seed. B. The pre-packing of seed. C. The selling of seed. D. The running of a nursery or other type of multiplication facility. E. The running of a laboratory. F. The importation of plant or propagating material. Or G. The export of plant or propagating material. Sub 2. A person may not conduct a type of business referred to in subsection 1 or from any premises unless A. the premises is registered under this Act and B. the type of business is specified on the certificate of registration issued in respect of such premises. Sub 3, subject to subsection 2, a person may A. conduct different types of business referred to in subsection 1 on or from the same premises, and B. conduct a type of business referred to in subsection 1 on or from more than one premises, as long as the prescribed facilities are available and prescribed practices are employed on the premises in question. Sub 4. A person may not conduct a type of business referred to in subsection 1 on or from any premises of which the registration A has lapsed due to failure to renew the registration in terms of section 17 within the prescribed period, or B has been terminated by the registrar in terms of section 20. Sub 5. For the purposes of this session, subsection 1A to C does not include the cleaning and conditioning, pre-packing, and selling of sheets. That will be of tubers. That will be your clause 9.
Agreed.
Clause 10, premises on or from which business may be conducted. Sub 1, premises on or from which a type of business referred to in section 9.1 may be conducted must A. be registered in terms of this Act and must comply with the prescribed requirements, and B. have a valid registration certificate reflecting the correct physical address and any type of business which may be conducted on the premises. Sub 2. The person in direct control of the premises must comply with the prescribed requirements when business contemplated in section 9.1 is conducted. That would be your clause 10. Clause 11, application for registration of business and premises. Sub 1, any person who desires to register A, a type of business referred to in Section 9(1), and B, the premises on or from which that type of business will be conducted must apply to the registrar in the prescribed manner for registration. Sub 2, a person who desires to register additional premises on or from which he or she wishes to conduct a type of business after registration in terms of Section 12 of that type of business and premises on or from which that type of business will be conducted must apply to the registrar in the prescribed manner for registration of the additional premises. Sub B, a person who desires to register an additional type of business in respect of premises after registration in terms of Section 12 of the type of business, and that premises on or from which the last mentioned type of business will be conducted must apply to the registrar in the prescribed manner for registration of the additional type of business. Sub 4. The name of the business or premises must not be similar to or be liable to cause confusion with the name of another business or premises. Sub 5A, the registrar must consider an application referred to subsection 1 and may undertake any investigation or inspection in connection with the application in order to determine compliance with the prescribed requirements. B, any person applying for registration in terms of subsection 1 must make available to the registrar for inspection in the manner and the time and place determined by the registrar the premises in such particulars as may be prescribed. That would be your clause 11. Clause 12, registration of business and premises. Clause 1, the registrar must register a business and issue a certificate of registration in respect thereof if A, it is a type of business contemplated in Section 9(1), B, the practices employed in the business in question are in compliance with the prescribed requirements, and the prescribed facilities for the type of business in question are available on or at the relevant premises. 2, the registrar must register premises and issue a certificate of registration in respect thereof if A, the premises complies with the prescribed requirements, B, the prescribed facilities for the business in question are available at the premises, C, the person in direct control of the premises has sufficient knowledge of the practices to be employed in the operation of the business and of the relevant provisions of the Act, D, in the case of a laboratory and multiplication facility, the responsible official of the technical operations at such premises is in possession of the prescribed qualification, has sufficient knowledge of the practices to be employed in those operations, and has sufficient knowledge of the relevant provisions of this Act. And E, the premises comply with such other requirements as may be prescribed. Sub 3, the certificate of registration of a business and premises are not transferable. That would be your question.
Maybe just to get the clarity from my side, you see this thing that the area where it says the business must comply with the requirements that will be prescribed means that it will be prescribed where in the regulation, and the regulation is the competence of the minister, which might not come here. And it might mean that the register might put the requirement that does not include the emerging farmer and what are we going to do ourselves. So I just wanted to raise this thing so that we get a way of making sure that it does actually accommodate the emerging. Just prescribe, and somebody's going to prescribe after we've passed the law. It will be, I think probably we might want to say, prescribe in line with what other laws that establish business which accommodate as part of shop as a business. What is that? What is that prescription? Yes. Because if you're saying just prescribe, leave it there, that a register, because the nature of the business is multinational. You might find that the requirements, they teach it up and we don't allow any entrance for you. Honorable Matan?
No, thanks, Chair. You know, the thing that we're dealing with here, it's is sophisticated business. And sophisticated business is sophisticated. It doesn't cater for somebody who's trying to enter. Because it's not about people who enter into business. It's about the copyright or the plant improvement. You have orange, a tree that gives you oranges. You then want to perfect that tree to yield better oranges of good quality and in a different manner. So when you go into that space, if you are emerging into the market, you can't go operate in that space. So if we say that the requirements must not infringe on the constitution or something like that, but I don't see how we write emerging farmers in plant improvement bill. I don't know how. Maybe the lawyers can help, but it's very difficult, Chair, to insert emerging farmers, because it's not about emerging farmers.
No, it's not about the growers or whatever you can call them. They'll be within the normal environment, I'll call them farmers, because they have to deal with the things that are being planted. Actually, what I'm trying to say is that you might have the skills to improve that variety, and but you don't have office and laptop that design and all those things, which might be the requirement of the register. So that's the argument. Honorable Kruka and Honorable Kruka.
No, I agree with you, Chair, because, small growers can be somebody that has come out of university and did his doctor degree on plant improvements, but he's still too small to have access to all, the regulations of the minister. So I agree 100% with you.
So let's
are you going to have another proposal? Sure, I also be assisted by the regulator. I want to find out if this is not referring to prescriptions that may be from other legislation, like from the environment, health, and other things.
Thank you, Chairperson. This provision must be read together with Clause 58, which goes with the regulations. And the prescribed regulations that we speak of is not those that come from the registrar, but it is those that will be done by the minister. And when the minister acts, it's an executive act, which must follow the constitution and all other prescripts as provided by the law. So in that understanding, and looking at Section 101 of the constitution, it's either we take it on the understanding that the prescript will be followed by the officer or the functionary that will be acting when the need arises, having ensured that they comply with all the requirements of the law as set out either in this act or set out in the other relevant legislation that would be applicable. Secondly, is that in terms of Section 101, the committee or parliament does have the empowerment to indicate in respect of regulations whether they want to have a stake in dealing with them, hence indicate that it must be tabled and approved by parliament, or leave it open under the understanding that, because as you see, clause 1 of 58, it does say the regulations must be gazetted. And when that process takes place, there is a purpose, and the purpose is to allow participation from any stakeholder, including parliament, without officializing it in an instance that it comes to parliament in terms of Section 101. So my opinion and understanding of the questions would be, from what we have drafted into this provision, it is covered to ensure all the concepts that have been raised, because then the prescription of the regulation will have to address all those instances and give the extent as to who it is applicable to and who are the users of this provision and those that will be affected. Thank you, Chairperson.
You're in a normal environment, you are right, but you might not be there when the regulation has been drafted. That was so serious language. Honorable Cook.
I'm sure this is what's going to happen, but you know, in South Africa we got that animal called red tape, and I'm worried that in this regulations a lot of red tape is going to slip in, and then we need to fix it later, because small growers, especially small growers, won't be able to comply to the regulations. And I'm leaving now. Thank you.
So maybe let's touch it. And then, because we are still going to, we'll see then how we make sure that we don't exclude the small growers. Honorable Matan?
I thought we'll just insert 5.8.1 PQR, that then first the regulations must take into consideration the issues affecting your small growers. So,
yeah.
Agreed,
honorable member. Agreed. Let's proceed, Mr. Mellon.
Just for purposes of our clarity, in other words, we should reconsider clause 12 in relation to 58. Thank you, Chair. Then we move to clause 13.
Yes, Chair, there is another question on 12.2, which is the registrar must register premises and issue certificate of registration. I know I've asked the question in the past. It's a thing of issuing a certificate. Other sections of the department is very, very, very slow sometimes. There's court cases and things that happen when the registrar fall behind. Is there anything that we can say I know it, that the law always is in a time frame or a period of time or whatever. I don't want to put a time frame here, but my concern is, Chair, that we've been dealing with the department in the past in other sections of the department where the registrar falls behind. What if it's just open-ended? You know, a person has to apply every year, but if you take 6 months to get your certificate, it's going to be a problem. I just want to find out from the department how are they dealing with this. Doctor?
Excuse me, Chair. I was just looking at the registrar perhaps to give us guidance, because it's a very technical issue, which I'm sure they are standards. Already in place, so if you allow me, let's just ask the registrar to respond.
Okay.
Chief, thank you for the opportunity. I think currently the most challenging issue is the sending of the certificate. But I agree it can be a challenge, obviously one needs to maybe investigate other systems to maybe have electronic or that kind of thing. But currently we don't have really an issue with the issuing of the certificate, but as I said, the means of delivering it. But on top of that, the question is just if what else would one have as a evidence that premises is registered, because whenever you enter a place that you see the certificate, you know that the place is registered. We take note of the concern. But currently we don't really have an issue with that. As soon as the conditions are complied with, the certificate is issued in our instance. Thank you.
Chief. We can work with the legal team to prescribe a specific time frame because there are examples in other pieces of legislation that indicates within a specific time frame a certificate must be issued. Thank you.
He has covered me because I thought we can have a time frame, it shouldn't be a problem. I'm covered. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have noted the proposed changes to be considered and effected. We will do so moving forward. Then we will move to clause 13 as 12 has amendments to be supported. This is a law registration of business and premises. 13 months. The registrar must refuse to register a business if one or more of the requirements set out in section 12.1 are not complied with. Sub 2. The registrar must refuse to register premises if one or more of the requirements set out in section 12.2 are not complied with. If the registrar refuses an application for registration in terms of subsection 1 or 2, the registrar must, within 14 days of the date of the refusal, notify the applicant of the refusal and furnish written reasons to the applicant for such refusal. That would be your clause 13.
Agreed.
Yes. Period of registration, clause 14. The registration of a type of business is valid from the date of issue of the certificate of registration in terms of section 12.1 until the date of termination by the person in whose name the type of business was registered or termination of registration by the registrar in terms of section 20, whichever date is earlier. Sub 2. The registration of premises is valid for a period of 3 years from the date of issue of the certificate of registration in terms of section 12.2 or until termination by the person in whose name premises was registered or termination by the registrar in terms of section 20, whichever date is earlier. That would be your clause 14.
Agreed. Honorable,
I was thinking it below, I'll find something. Is there a reference somewhere about the resubmission of the application waivers refused? Is there? Okay.
Are you covered?
Yes.
Okay.
We are now on clause 15, notification of change of circumstances. 15.1. The person in whose name a type of business...
Honorable Kappa asked a question, but I don't know whether the answer is helpful. If we say it's covered, where is it? Because you know, we might agree to something which is not there. But if we can be helped, like, you know, we're helped with the Section 50-something to explain what we're looking at here. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Where? Or department?
Because I thought the Honorable was asking the patient to on behalf of the applicant so that the applicant can know that if this thing are declined, this is you correct and you resubmit or something like that. And you can insert something within this clause that says that the applicant has a right to appeal or to resubmit, something like that. Thanks.
Because they said it's covered, I thought they are going to show us where it's covered. So, as you requested, so that's why I'm... So, it's covered where?
If I may respond, under Section 18, refusal for renewal of registration of premises, basically if there's a refusal for renewal, there would be reasons furnished. And once those reasons are furnished, nothing in the Act prevents anyone from reapplying. The silence of the Act on Reapplication means that nothing prevents you from reapplying. And they also have the option of the appeal process. Thank you.
Well,
mistake of talking while they're trying to check for that vaccine, because one was proposing that probably we must either within that schedule we're dealing with have a provision for resubmission of the corrected application.
Agreed. Lawyers must be aware of security in that particular section. Let's proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. It will be attended to. That takes us to clause 14. Thank you. Notification of change of circumstances, clause 15. Sub 1. The person in whose name a type of business and premises has been registered in terms of section 12 must notify the registrar in writing if there is any change with regard to any information which was submitted in respect of the application for the issue of the certificate of registration referred to in that section within 30 days of the date of the change. Sub 2. The registrar must A. consider the notice referred to in subsection 1. B. Inspect the premises if necessary. C. Update the information in the register contemplated in section 5. And D. Issue a new certificate if the change so requires. That will be your clause 16.
But my issue was, if inspection is a requirement, why are we saying it's necessary? Or inspection will not be a requirement?
Chair, it depends on what is the nature of the change being proposed. So that will inform whether an inspection would be required. Sometimes it's a minor change, but if there's an opinion that proposed change is significant enough to warrant an investigation or inspection, that is why we provide for, not in all cases there would be a need for an inspection.
Agreed?
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Chair. We move to clause 16. Application for renewal of registration of premises. 16.1. The person to whom a certificate of registration has been issued in terms of section 12.2 must apply for the renewal of the registration before or on the date of expiry of the certificate in the prescribed manner. 2. If the application for renewal has been lodged before or on the date of expiry in terms of section 1, the certificate remains valid until the application for renewal is decided. That would be a clause 16.
Another thing? Agree? Oh, I thought you raised your hand.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Your clause 17, approval for renewal of registration of premises. 1. The registrar must renew the registration of a premises if A. the provisions of section 12.2 are complied with, and B. the prescribed records regarding the plants or propagating material, hence that the premises are being kept for the period and in the manner prescribed, and such information in connection therewith as the registrar may require has been furnished to the registrar. 2. The registrar may renew the registration of premises subject to such conditions as he or she may determine in each case. 3. If the registrar renews the registration of premises, he or she must, within 14 days of the decision, notify the person who applied for such renewal by issuing a certificate of registration in respect of the premises and enter the relevant details in the register contemplated in Section 5. 4. The renewal of the registration of premises is, subject to earlier termination under this Act, valid for a period of 3 years from the date of issue of the certificate of the registration in terms of the section. Sub 5, Section 15 applies with the changes required by the context in respect of the renewal of registration of a certificate issued in terms of the section. That would be clause 17.
Agreed.
Clause 18, refusal for renewal of registration of premises. 18.1. The registrar must refuse to renew the registration of premises if any of the provisions of Section 12.2 are not complied with. Sub 2. If the registrar refuses an application for the renewal of the registration of premises, he or she must, within 14 days of the date of that decision, inform the person who applied for the renewal in writing for his or her decision and the reasons for such decision. That would be clause 18.
Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to this section, I do not have a problem with the section as it is, but shouldn't there be some form of mechanism for a provisional refusal for minor breaches?
Doctor?
Chair, I must just quickly understand the question from Honourable Yonglu. Is the question around whether there is a minor mistake, or is it, I just want to be sure.
Yeah, what I mean is if there is something small wrong, the proposal, if you can call it that, is that we give the person a period of time to rectify before the application could and would be considered again.
What is a small rock? Before you answer. What is a small rock? No. Because you see, we must not create concept that are advertised. There is no small rock. Wrong is wrong. Yeah. So it will then be subjected to the processes of as well. Included the clause where we say then they can be allowed to resubmit again. Yes, there is no small wrong. Wrong is the wrong.
You do get me wrong, like 246, not the same like 246.
You know you're out of order with but. You are out of order. No, the example is not. We're talking about the bill here. We're not talking about the numbers here. We're not talking about the numbers. We're talking about the bill. So, yeah.
The word I used was not a small wrong. I said a minor.
There is no minor wrong. We have inserted a clause, honorable members, that accommodates those smaller or little or minor and whatever. Yes. Yes, you can put your skeletons, yeah, all those things. So can we pass on? Let's proceed. Huh? No, we don't have a small room. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 18 is adopted as is. removed to clause 19, exemption from registration. 19(1), the minister may by notice in the gazette and on such conditions as he or she may specify in the notice, exempt any type of business from the provisions of section 9 and any premises from the provisions of section 10. 2, any person seeking exemption from section 9 or section 10 or both must submit an application with the registrar in the prescribed manner. That will be your clause 19.
Agreed. Honorable say. I just have a question here when we read it now. Would that not assist like the small growers, this section, the section that we spoke about earlier? Then did we not discuss that we're going to write in somewhere? So I'm going back to the problem in the way what it that we said we must write
something. Where is the minister? What is the minister? Is it 3A?
What? No, we won't take those chances. What about? I'm just saying, if the minister become a conservative, as you do.
If I read this section, I think that is. I'm just reminded that that was the section that we were covered under. Maybe I'm asking a question, and I'm glad that you're starting to think what if. Because it's good. We must make bills for every government.
We must not make laws for every government. We must make laws at work. And I think that the insertion that we made for small businesses is appropriate, which has been inserted. But I appreciate the fact that she thinks that this was can also address the fears that that we had, and I think we must just note that and agree to that observation, but then adopt the clause as presented.
We must do the law for the country and for the people of this country, so that we don't end up having some challenges. We treated in Black River and start to say, but I had an opportunity of dealing with this and I didn't do it. So, agreed, clause, what's that clause? 19? Okay, let's proceed.
Thank you, Chair. We're now on clause 20, termination of registration. 21, the registration of a type of business contemplated in section 9(1) may be terminated A, by the registrar upon a written request by the person in whose name the certificate of registration was issued, or B, by the registrar if subsection 1, a condition of a requirement for the registration of a type of business in terms of section 12(1) is no longer complied with. Number 2, the person in whose name the certificate of registration was issued was found guilty of an offence under this Act, or Number 3, ordered by a court. Sub 2, the registration of premises may be terminated, paragraph A, by the registrar upon the written request by the person in whose name the certificate of registration was issued, or B, by the registrar if Number 1, a condition of a requirement for the registration of the premises in terms of section 12(2) is no longer complied with. Number 2, the person to whom the certificate of registration in respect thereof was issued has been found guilty of an offence under this Act. Number 3, the person to whom the certificate of registration in respect thereof was issued ceases to be the owner or occupier of the premises. Number 4, the premises in question is no longer used for the conduct of the type of business for which it was registered. Roman figure 5, the person in direct control of a laboratory or multiplication facility ceases to be employed at the premises without being replaced by a person complying with the requirements. Roman figure 6, the person to whom the certificate of registration in respect thereof was issued fails to renew the registration in terms of section 17 or Roman figure 7, ordered by a court. Sub 3, if the registrar terminates the registration of a type of business in terms of subsection 1 or premised in terms of subsection 2, the registrar must, within 14 days of the date of the decision, inform the person to whom the certificate of registration in respect of the type of business or premises was issued, and must furnish that person with written reasons for the decision to terminate registration. That would be your part 20. Clause 21, display and return of certificates of registration. 21.1. The certificate of registration issued in respect of a type of business and premises must be displayed at all times in a prominent position at the premises and be available for inspection by the registrar. Sub 2, when the registration of a business and premises has been terminated in terms of section 20, the relevant certificate of registration must be collected by the registrar within a prescribed period. That will be your clause 21.
Agreed?
Moving to chapter 4, clause 22, which deals with requirements relating to sale of plant and propagating material. Sub 1, plant and propagating material sold for purposes of cultivation must A, be of varieties of the kinds of plants contemplated in section 24, B, be sold under the approved denomination or synonym entered in respect thereof in the National Varietal List, Original Varietal List, and a qualifying term or reference may be used in conjunction thereof. C, comply with the requirements prescribed in respect of the plant and propagating material in question. And D, in the case of Romantica 1, propagating material be pre-packed or packed in containers which comply with the prescribed requirements and which are sealed and branded, marked or labeled in the prescribed manner with the prescribed information. Or Romantica 2, a plant or batch of plants be labeled in the prescribed manner with the label containing the prescribed information. Subsection 2, notwithstanding subsection 1, seed mixtures made, seed mixtures may be sold subject to prescribed requirements. Sub 3, A, a person may in writing apply to the registrar with the furnishing of reasons for exemption from compliance with one or more of the requirements set out in subsection 1. B, in order to enable the registrar to make a decision on an application in terms of paragraph A, the registrar may call for further information from the applicant. C, the registrar may, after considering an application, Romantica 1, refuse to grant exemption, or Romantica 2, in writing, grant exemption from compliance with one or more of the requirements set out in subsection 1, such to such conditions as the registrar may deem fit. D. If any condition referred to in paragraph C, Romantica 2, is not being complied with, the registrar may, in writing, withdraw the exemption in question. Sub 4, plant and propagating material contemplated in subsection 1 must be sold from a business and premises registered in terms of this Act, unless exempted from registration in terms of section 19. That amounts to your clause 22. Clause 23, exemption regarding a certain plants and propagating material. 23.1. This Act does not apply to A, propagating material intended for purposes other than the cultivation thereof. B, the cleaning and conditioning of propagating material for private and non-commercial purposes by the producer thereof for own use. C, the sale of propagating material by the producer thereof to the person in whose name the certificate of registration in respect to a premises was issued, provided that Romantica 1, in the case of propagating material certified under a scheme, the containers of the material must be sealed and labeled or marked in accordance with the provisions of the scheme, and 2, in the case of propagating material not certified under a scheme, the name and address of the producer, the kind of plant and the denomination of the variety content must be clearly and legibly marked on the container thereof on a legal attached thereto or on an accompanying invoice, or D, non-commercial varieties of kinds of plants regulated by this Act. 2, for the purposes of Subsection 1D, non-commercial variety means A, an unprotected variety of any kind of plant regulated by this Act, that is available for cultivation and sale on such non-commercial scale as may be prescribed, and B, in the case of any kind of plant of which seeds are regulated by this Act, means any open pollinated variety of that kind of plant. That will be your clause 23.
Agreed.
Thank you. Let me read that again. Clause 24, National Varietal List. 24.1, the registrar must keep and publish a list of such specific varieties or all varieties of such kinds of plants that may be prescribed. 2, in cases where specific varieties are listed, the National Varietal List must inspect of a variety contain the denomination A of a variety approved in terms of Section 37P of a variety in respect of which a plant breeder's right has been granted in terms of the Plant Breeders Rights Act 1976, Act No. 15 of 1976, if an application has been submitted in terms of Section 28 of C, by which a variety is generally known on the date when the kind of plant to which the variety belongs has been declared as the kind of plant in terms of Section 2. If an application has been submitted in terms of Section 28, and variety complies with the requirements concentrated in Section 27. Sub 3, if a variety is known by a synonym approved by the breeder of the variety or trademark, the registrar may enter these details in the varietal list in addition to the approved denomination. Sub 4, the registrar may enter in the varietal list any other particulars regarding a variety referred to in subsection 1 that the registrar deems necessary. Sub 5, the varietal list kept in hand of Section 15 of the Plant Improvement Act 1976, Act No. 53 of 1976 must be incorporated in and must form part of the list kept under this section. And any document, information, or other proof furnished to the registrar in terms of that Act must be regarded as having been furnished to the registrar under the corresponding provision of this Act. That will be your clause 24. The 25, maintenance of propagating material. 25.1, the applicant for listing must ensure that he or she is able for the period that the denomination of the variety is included in the National Varietal List, and when requested by the registrar to A, furnish the registrar with propagating material of the said variety that is capable of reproducing the variety in question in such a manner that the characteristics of the variety correspond with those described at the time of listing, and B, provide the registrar with the information and access to the relevant facilities to satisfy the registrar that the applicant is maintaining propagating material that conform with the requirements contemplated in paragraph A. Sub 2, the registrar may conduct such inspection during business hours in connection with any matter contemplated in subsection 1 as may be necessary in order to confirm compliance with the provisions of that subsection. That's mark 25. Clause 26, removal of variety denomination from National Varietal List. 26.1, the registrar may remove the denomination of variety from the National Varietal List if A, it is established that the requirement specified in Section 27.1A has not been complied with at the time of approval of the variety. B, a requirement specified in Section 27.1B or C is no longer complied with. C, it is in public interest to remove it. And then, yeah, we should have an amendment there that inspects the in C. It is in the public interest to remove it. In 26 sub 1 paragraph C. D, the result of an evaluation referred to in Section 38 indicates that the use of the variety is not in public interest.
The applicant has failed to provide the registrar with the information of propagating material considered necessary for verifying the maintenance of the variety within 3 months of the date on which the registrar requested the information on material in terms of section 25.1. F. The applicant has failed to propose within 30 days from the date of notification in terms of section 34.2 another suitable denomination if the denomination of the variety is cancelled after approval of the variety, or a third party has in the prescribed format lodged an application for the removal of a denomination of a variety to the register in the event that Romantica 1, such third party has reason to believe that any of the circumstances contemplated in paragraphs A to D are present, and Romantica 2, the register after investigation is of the view that such circumstances are present. But 2, the register must A, notify the applicant of the variety concerned in writing that removal of the denomination of the variety from the national varietal list is being considered, and provide the reason for such consideration unless the identity and address is unknown to the register. B. Request the applicant of the variety consent to submit reasons in writing within the prescribed period as to why the denomination of the variety should not be removed. Consider any reasons received pursuant to the notice contemplated in paragraph A. D. Make a decision whether or not to remove the denomination of the variety, and E. In the event that he or she decides to remove the denomination of the variety in accordance with section 1, Romantica 1, inform the applicant of the variety concerned in writing of the removal and the reasons for the decision, and Romantica 2, remove the variety within 60 days in the event that the applicant of the variety concerned does not lodge an appeal to the removal. Sub 3, the registrar must remove the denomination of a variety from the national varietal list if ordered by a court or the minister in charge of section 50. That will be your clause 26.
Just before I just revise, what were you amending on 26 worksheet? Or what were you correcting there?
It is just a grammatical change, honorable member, to either insert the public interest or leave it as just public interest. It's not necessary. It's just because there is no specific to say there is the public interest. It's just a public interest.
The one that says the registrar must remove the denomination of the variety from the national varietal list if ordered by the court or the minister in terms of section 50. Is raising that question only to say what were we correcting?
No.
Okay. So can I get clarity before you raise the Honorable Makali, so that because I'm here, I must not confuse you. Yes?
No, clause 26.1c. She was suggesting that there is a grammatical error on the basis that it is not there before public.
Oh.
And I was saying, why does she think that there is a grammatical error? Oh. But I suspect she agrees that it's fine. Whether it's there or not, it doesn't make any difference.
Okay.
I suspect that's what she was saying. I'm not sure.
Okay. Honorable Madale?
Indeed, Honorable, no, that's what she was saying, and I don't agree with her. The amendment she made is appropriate because it has meaning. Without that, it doesn't have meaning. So I think we should agree with the amendment that she has made to three. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
If that's the case, Chairperson, the same would have to apply in D. We inject B in those two provisions.
Yes. Agreed?
Sure, you know, I'm not an English person, and English is not my first language. But I'm not sure about what Honorable Mathale says. That if there is not there, it will not make any meaning. I'm not sure about that. Because from where I'm sitting, whether it's there or there's not there, it does make sense, and there is a meaning. So I'm not sure about that, because it might be good in English,
we might want to lecture me further. But with my limited English, I don't see any difference.
And let's not encourage that debate. No, that's why I don't want you to then respond. But the issue is that let's put it in the interest of the better understanding. And we've agreed because Congress not, or Honorable not, we've agreed already. And Matale was supposed to agree and you come back late. So, which is, there is no any drastic change of the content itself. Whether there is a drastic change if you put gay or exclude it, it's not the matter now because we said we must put the day. As we read the day, we feel that the content is what we agree with. Honorable sir.
Yeah, I think let's take advantage of the ability to keep that grammatical and then he insisted and I feel like I have to discuss simply grammatical. If there may be some reservation about it, let's just eliminate that reservation and have that day. So.
Okay. Let's have the day.
Noted. Chapelson, correction will be done. Clause 27, which relates to varieties eligible for national listing. A variety must be listed if it is A, clearly distinguishable from any other variety of the same kind of plant which has been included in the national variety list, B, sufficiently uniform with regard to the characteristics thereof, subject to the variation that may be expected from the particular features of the propagation of that variety, C, stable in that the characteristics of the variety remain unchanged after repeated propagation or in the case of a particular cycle of propagation at the end of each batch cycle, and D, identified by denomination which comprises the provisions of section 33, and that is clause 27.
Agreed?
Clause 28, application for national listing, sub 1. An application for national listing must be made by an applicant in the prescribed manner and must be accompanied by the following duly completed documents and fees. A. An application form obtainable from the office of the registrar. B. A technical questionnaire in respect of the kind of plant of the variety in question obtainable from the office of the registrar. C. Written proof of the appointment of an agent by the applicant, if applicable. D. Written proof of the transfer of the variety to the applicant, if applicable. And E. Such application fee and such examination fee as may be prescribed. Sub 2. If the applicant is not domiciled and resident in the Republic, the application must be submitted through an agent. Sub 3A. In case of an old variety where the bill cannot be checked, the applicant must furnish the registrar with a prescribed declaration. B. Neither the registrar nor the state is liable for anything as a result of the declaration submitted in terms of paragraph A. The registrar must notify the applicant of any outstanding documentation or information within 21 days of the date of receiving the application. 5. The applicant must furnish the registrar with any documentation or information required by the registrar within 3 months of the date of notification contemplated in subsection 4. Failure of which may result in the application being returned to the applicant. Sub 6A. The effective filing date is the date on which the requirements of subsection 1 have been met, and any outstanding documentation or information required by the registrar in terms of subsection 5 has been received. B. Copies of documents referred to in subsection 1A to D may be submitted in order to secure a filing date, but the original documents may be submitted to the registrar within 3 months of the filing date. Failure of which may result in the application to lapse. 7A. In case of a variety that may not be used without prior approval in terms of other legislation, the application must be accompanied by the relevant permit or proof of general relief for the variety as the case may be. B. If the applicant is not the owner of the variety, the written permission of the owner must be submitted with the application. That is clause 28.
Okay.
Agreed. Honorable Father?
That's a small clarification. Am I correct to think that in sub 2, if the applicant is not domiciled in the present case, am I correct to feel that that's domiciled and resident are in separate?
Respond. Can you read off your mic so that I can respond? Pregnant. Doctor?
Is this a legal term?
Another
matter. So, I thought the question is that they are inseparable, meaning they might be referring to one thing, but I think they are talking about two different things. You know, a physical address and a physical staying, could have been staying in a particular place. I might be wrong, but I thought they are interrelated in the sense that they talk about your physical address and your physical staying in a place. But they can clarify it as lawyers because it's a legal terminology.
State law advisor.
Yeah, Chair, they are separate. This is an acronym, domicile. Domicile means it's a legal technical term. It means your domicile is the place where you live. Residency, you might be, you can have temporary residence in South Africa and a permanent residence. Residence also means a different thing. So there's two things. One is an and between them, so we'll have to just make sure that they are not related though.
You're
positioning
me better now. I
think
you will.
And means it there must be both. If it's all language speakers, so you must be domiciled and resident.
Another birthday.
Chair, now the further section of that says submitted through an agent. Is that normal practice? So I can be an Australian resident then and then submit a request. I want to understand the practice of this. It's all good and well if it's safe here and nicely legal terms that we don't understand. But in practice, if I looked at the list that was submitted here of current rights holders in South Africa, and there's lots of them international companies.
Almost.
So if we can understand this practice, so it means under that ECMOF and that very technical things that we discussed in the beginning, all these laws that regulated internationally, anyone can come and do a registration in any country, but this legal term basically tells you how you must do it. You can't do it in person, you must do it through, and how this agent thing works. So what is the agent? I think that is also the question, how and where do you find an agent and what is the role of the agent then?
Agent is defined as, a means of person domiciled and resident in the Republic that's been duly authorized by the Breeder of the Variety Act on his or her behalf for filing an application for national listing. So the applicant is not domiciled or resident in the Republic, but it is through an agent who is domiciled and resident.
Okay, the agent is defined in the definition. Okay, agreed. What is that, ma'am? Okay. Agreed. Let's cross it.
Thank you, Chair. We move to clause 29. Rejection of application for national listing, 29.1. The registrar must reject an application made in terms of section 28. The applicant is not entitled to make an application under this Act. B. If the application contains a misrepresentation, or C. If the applicant refuses, fails to, or is not able to propose such an acceptable denomination as may be prescribed. Sub 2. In the event that a registrar rejects an application in terms of subsection 1, all is relating to such application are forfeited. 8. If the registrar rejects an application in terms of succession month, the registrar must notify applicant in writing within 21 days of the date of that decision and state the reason for rejection. That's question 9.
Agreed?
Clause 30, acceptance and registration of application for national listing. 31, if the registrar accepts the application, the registrar must register the application and must notify the applicant in writing of the acceptance within 21 days of the date of the registration of the application. Step 2, the registrar must enter the particulars of every application for national listing in the relevant register. That is clause 30.
Agreed?
Just to be wise, we've been talking about 14 days, now we've come to 21 days. So we just have to be wise.
Okay. Doctor, this one is not a legal thing to me.
Now, Jay, I think in this instance it really relates to the administrative processes involved in verifying the information and making sure that when the entries are made into the national list that it is that it is correct. So it's more just giving the administrator sufficient time. And our timelines has also been aligned to what we've seen in practice happening over the years. So there's no real science behind it. It's more informed by what is required at an administrative level. Thank you.
Actually, when the 14 days is referring to an applicant, but with the register, you give him 21 days. And your question is relevant and is very genial. Why the register needs more time, but the applicant, you feel, must be within 14 days? You see? Because you've got the register, it's there, it's dealing with them every now and then he says, I can finish. He decides I can finish within 21 days. And then the applicant, because he's not there, he just says 14 days. Can we...
We can perhaps with the assistance of legal services just go back and just make sure that we are consistent. But in terms of where we are describing shorter periods, it's always from what I can recall, in instances where there is already information on the table, but we're asking the applicant to please do addition or review what you've already submitted. So it's not like the applicant would have to submit from fresh. It's an issue of an ongoing process of which the applicant has already engaged. But we can go through it and just make sure that it is a reasonable opportunity for both the applicant as well as the registrar to do what they need.
Okay. Next question.
Thank you, Chairperson. We move to clause 31, amendment of application for national listing. An applicant whose application has been registered in terms of section 8 may at any time before or after the approval for the variety apply in the prescribed manner to the registrar for an amendment of that application, subject to the approval of the registrar and upon payment of the prescribed fee, if the amendment does not affect the description of the variety which is the subject of the application.
Agreed.
Clause 32, objection to application for national listing. 31, any person may lodge an objection with the registrar in respect of an application for national listing following the publication of the information regarding the application in terms of section 40 within 6 days from the date of application. 2. The registrar must, within 7 days of the date of the receipt of an objection, inform the applicant consent in writing of the objection and provide the applicant with a copy of the objection. 3. The applicant may lodge a counter statement against the objection with the registrar within 30 days of the date of receiving the information. That is clause 32.
Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 33, denomination of variety under Chapter 7. 33.1, an applicant for national listing must, subject to the approval of the registrar, propose a denomination that complies with the prescribed requirements and the synonyms required when submitting an application for the national listing. 2, no denomination other than the denomination and synonym approved by the registrar in terms of subsection 1 may be used in connection with variety in question. Subsection 3, subsection 2 does not prohibit the proprietor or the registered user of the trademark to use such trademark in conjunction with a denomination which has been entered in the national variety list if such trademark is clearly distinguishable from the variety denomination. Therefore, a variety must be submitted to the registrar under the same denomination as the denomination by which it is known in any other country, unless the registrar considers the denomination unacceptable in accordance with the recognized international and regional rules, in which case the applicant must submit an alternative denomination. If a variety is known by more than one denomination, the applicant must indicate the preferable denomination to be listed as the main denomination, and the registrar may include the other denomination as a synonym. That is clause 33.
Agreed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Amendment of denomination in clause 34. 1. The registrar must amend the denomination approved in respect of a variety in terms of section 33. If A, ordered by a court on application by a person who in law has a preferential claim to the use of the denomination in question, B, if the information submitted to the registrar in the application for the approval of or in connection with the denomination in question was incorrect and such denomination would not have been approved had the registrar known at the time of the application that such information was incorrect, or C, if the information comes to light which, if discovered earlier, would have resulted in the refusal of such denomination. Sub 2A, if an amendment becomes necessary on any ground referred to in subsection 1, the registrar must notify the relevant applicant accordingly in writing and must give the reasons in the notice why the amendment is necessary. D. The applicant must submit proposals in writing to the registrar for an alternative denomination within 30 days from the date of receipt of the notice referred to in paragraph A. And 3. An applicant may request the registrar in the prescribed manner at any time before the approval of the variety for national listing to amend the approved denomination. 4. The registrar must consider the request referred to in subsection 3 and must notify the applicant of his or her decision and provide the reasons for the decision rejected in writing within 40 days, within 14 days of the date on which the request was received. 5. Any person may lodge an objection in the prescribed manner and within the prescribed period against an intended amendment of the variety denomination. Sub 6. If a denomination referred to in section 24.2b has been altered or supplemented in terms of the Plant Breeders' Rights Act, 1976, Act No. 15 of 1976, and if a denomination is a national varietal, and if a notification is provided to the registrar must alter or supplement the denomination in the national varietal list accordingly. That makes clause 34. We move to Chapter 8, Clause 35, Test and Trial. Sub 1. The registrar must, in order to enable him or her to determine whether a variety in respect of which an application has been accepted is distinct, uniform, and stable in accordance with Section 27A, undertake or cause to be undertaken such test and trial as may be necessary, or B, use the results of tests and trials obtained from the appropriate authority in another country. 2A. The applicant must furnish the registrar within the prescribed period with such materials as may be prescribed. B. The registrar may grant an exemption to the applicant from compliance with paragraph A for a period not exceeding the initial prescribed period. C. An application for extension contemplated in paragraph B must be submitted to the registrar in writing and must remain figure 1, set up reasons for the request of an extension B and Romantica 2 in the event of imported plant material, include prescribed proof that the plant material has been imported into the Republic. And D, an application in terms of Section 28 that is the material contemplated in paragraph A is not furnished to the registrar within the prescribed period or extended period, as the case may be. Sub 3, if an objection has been lodged against an application for national listing in terms of Section 32, the registrar may terminate all actions performed in accordance with subsection 1A or B in the event that such an objection is upheld, and that is clause 35. Clause 36, refusal for national listing. Sub 1, the registrar must refuse the approval of a variety for national listing if A, after examining the results of any test or trial conducted in terms of section 35(1) in respect of the variety in question, the requirements specified in section 27 have not been met. B, if it is in the public interest to do so, or C, if the registrar, after an evaluation in terms of section 38, decides that the variety is undesirable for use. 2. If the results from the test of trials conducted in terms of section 35(1) indicate that two or more varieties in respect of which different applications have been registered in terms of section 30 cannot be distinguished, the registrar must approve the variety of the applicant whose application A was submitted first in time, or B, of which the filing date complies with section 28(1), whichever is earlier. Sub 3A, the registrar must inform any applicant contemplated in subsection 1 or 2 in writing of the registrar's decision and of the reasons for the refusal. B, the registrar must, in respect of each variety which is refused, enter the applicable particulars in the register contemplated in section 6. That is section 36. Clause 37, approval for national listing. 37(1), the registrar must approve national listing in respect of a variety applied for if, subject to section 36(2), and after test and trial contemplated in section 35(1) and evaluation contemplated in section 38, that variety conforms to the requirements specified in section 37. 2. The registrar must notify the applicant in writing of the approval of each variety. Sub 3. The registrar must, in respect of each variety which is approved, enter the applicable particulars referred to in section 24 in the national varietal list and the particulars referred to in section 6 in the register. That is clause 37. Chapter 9, clause 38, evaluation of variety for value preservation and use. Now, sub 1, the registrar may, in cases where the value for cultivation and use of a variety is doubtful, evaluate that variety in the prescribed manner in order to determine its value. 2, for the purposes of subsection 1, the registrar may evaluate any variety in respect of which an application for national listing has been accepted in terms of section 30, or B, any variety which has been listed in the national varietal list. 3, the prescribed quantity of plant or prescribed mass of propagating material of the variety in question required for the purposes of the evaluation must be supplied to the registrar by the applicant at the prescribed time and prescribed place. 4, the registrar may, in order to enable him or her to evaluate a variety, A, examine the variety in the manner which he or she deems appropriate, B, cause the variety to be examined, or C, obtain the results of an evaluation conducted on the variety. 5, the registrar may, as a result of the evaluation of the variety, A, approve or refuse the variety for national listing, or B, retain or remove the variety from the national varietal list. 6. If the registrar decides to refuse or remove a variety from the national varietal list, he or she must notify the applicant in writing within 14 days of the date of the decision and the reason for the decision. 7. If land or propagating material cannot be supplied into the profession, but the registrar must A, in the case of a variety referred to in subsection 2A, refuse the application for national listing of a variety, or B, in the case of a variety referred to in subsection 2B, remove the variety from the national variety list. That is clause 38. Under chapter 10, hearings of objections, clause 39, hearing of objection. 1. In considering an objection lodged in terms of section 32, the registrar must hold for a hearing in accordance with the section. 2. The registrar must determine the date on and the time and place at which the objection will be heard, and must inform the person objecting and the applicant in question in writing of such date, time, and place. 3. A. The registrar may appoint one or more persons who have experience in the administration of justice or skill in any matter which may be considered at the hearing, to assist and advise the registrar with regard to the hearing of the objection. B. A person appointed in terms of paragraph A must receive such remuneration as may be prescribed. 4. The registrar may, for the purposes of the hearing of the objection, A. summon any person who may have material information concerning the subject of the hearing, or who has in his or her possession or control any document that has a bearing upon that subject, to appear before the registrar at a time and place specified in the summons, to be interrogated or to produce that document, and the registrar may retain for examination any documents to produce. B. Administer an oath to or accept an affirmation from any person called as a witness at the hearing. C. And call any person present at the hearing as a witness and interrogate him or her and require him or her to produce any document in his or her possession or under his or her control. 5. The procedure at the hearing of an objection must be prescribed. 6. The person objecting and the applicant may be represented if they appear before the registrar at the hearing of an objection. 7. The registrar must inform the person objecting and the applicant in writing of his or her decision and reasons for his or her decision within 7 days after the date of the hearing of the objection. That is clause 39.
Registrar has to appoint people. Is it not the minister who must have is appointing the board? Where registrar has to appoint other people? Because it's got a big financial implication. If we just leave it there when it says he might appoint one or more, and then the second one then says there must be paid remuneration. So it's a very, and because the register must, having a film, I would have the officials in this office. Why do we have to have the minister appointing the advisory board and have the register appointing other people outside the system? And then,
Chair, if I may take the liberty of responding on behalf of my technical experts and the registrar, this is the initial phase of any objection. And in all fairness to the objector, we want to give the objector an opportunity to hear his case and to understand his issues, depending on what the issues are. If they're issues of a legal nature, then of course they would need legal expertise. If it's of a highly technical nature, that may not be within the registrar's ambit of expertise, then they can call on that. But your point is taken about having a so-called duplication of expertise. But the hope is that at the objection stage, you would have a thorough investigation or a thorough hearing to understand what the issues are, so that it does not proceed to the appeal process. That's the end. I mean, is there anything further? Is there anything further that my colleague would like to add?
Sure.
Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, Honorable Young, please.
Thank you. With regard to Section 39, Subsection 2, I would like to propose that we include a clause stating what the period of the advance notice of the hearing should be. For example, 14 days before such a hearing, the written notice must go to whoever is implicated in the hearing. Thanks.
The minister is going to appoint the advisory board in a committee. Is it a committee or a board? Yeah. Yes, and they all get remuneration to advise the minister. Now the register line must get people who must get remuneration. Because in my understanding of the system, in the department you have the legal team, you have the state law advisor if it's legal matters. And the variety issues we are dealing with technical people who are within the system. And the register is the person who would have one of the skills besides. So why do we then have to have people being appointed outside the system who will be paid remuneration? It's a consultant fee. Why, doctor?
Thank you, Chief. I think you're quite right, because our understanding of how the advisory board would work, and you would recall that we've explained it when we were doing the initial consultation as well, is that they would function on a basis where, on a needs basis, so it will not be a permanent board, but if they would be appointed, but they would only be remunerated as and when they do perform function. So here, we also foresee that it can be from that same pool of people that we've appointed in terms of being members of the advisory board. I think what we just must do is to make it clear that we will be pulling from that same group of people, such that it's not interpreted as a duplication.
Hmm. Agreed? Yes.
When we maybe tried to establish if maybe there was no attempt to avoid the conflict of interest here, maybe the registrar is already working with those people who are advising the minister. What was the consideration when it is said that the registrar, when you is saying we can appeal if someone has assisted? I might have been, I don't know. Thank you very much, Chair. I think the point raised by Honorable Kappa is well established and is well noted from our side. I think where we will then have to really apply our minds is how do we ensure that it becomes something that is moving from the appointments that the minister has made and also advising the registrar in this case. My take would be then the registrar would not be appointing but utilizing the existing members that of the committee that minister has done. In terms of the question around whether this would be separation of powers in terms of and responsibilities, I don't think so, because at this stage it's just an objection. Somebody comes into the registrar and say, I object to whatever that you are doing. And in trying to then solve the issue as close as possible to the registrar would then hear that objection. And if the objection fails, the person still has got the right to go in and appeal the decision that was taken. Thank you.
So it means that we will then do away with this appointment. The registrar will source the expertise appointed by the minister. Should be like that. Agreed? You can then raise your issue. What was that?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The issue I'm concerned about is the fact that the there is no time frame mentioned in Section 39, Section 2, with regards to what a reasonable time of advance notice of a hearing is. And I want to put in a suggestion here that a 14-day, 2-week period would be a fair advance notice for somebody who must be at a hearing. Thanks.
Agreed? Members? Agreed. Are you tired? If you don't respond, I get worried. I think we're agreeing in terms of Chapter 10 with those amendments that we'll go into. Can we proceed to Chapter 11?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chapter 40, matters should be published in Journal. 1. The Registrar must ensure that a journal, the National Varietal Leaf Journal, is published on an annual basis or at regular intervals within each year. 2. The subject matter of the journal contemplated in Section 1 must be prescribed and must include A. Particulars relating to an application in terms of Section 28. B. Any amendment or alterations made to an application contemplated in paragraph A. C. Any withdrawal or rejection before the approval or rejection for national listing. D. Any decisions with regard to the approval or refusal for national listing. And E. Any decision with regard to the removal of variety denominations from the national list after approval for listing. That is clause 40.
Agreed?
Chapter 12, Inspection, Clause 41, Inspection or Quality Control. 1. Subject to Subsection 2, premises must be regularly inspected in the prescribed manner during the period of registration. 2. The registrar, an employee or an authorized person, may during office hours, without a warrant, enter any business or premises registered in terms of this act. And 8. Open any container found at or on the premises which he or she believes on reasonable grounds to contain plants or propagating material. B. Examine the plant or propagating material and take samples thereof. And C. Require the person in control of or employed at the premises to produce for inspection or for the purposes of obtaining copies or extracts any books, labels, shipping bills, bills of lading, or other documents or papers with respect to the administration of this act. That is clause 41. Clause 42, power to enter premises inspection and sampling. 1. The registrar, an employee or an authorized person may, on the ground of a warrant issued in terms of Section 3, at any reasonable time, A. Enter and inspect any place, premises, or vehicle in or upon which any plant propagating material, substance, or other article in respect of which this act applies is or is upon reasonable grounds suspected to be produced, reproduced, bred, cultivated, processed, treated, prepared, tested, examined, analyzed, classified, prepackaged, marked, labeled, held, kept, packed, removed, transported, exhibited, or sold. B. Instruct a person in control of or employed at such place, premises, or vehicle to remain secure. Deliver any book, record, or other document in that other document that pertains to that plant, propagating material, substance, or other article, and which is in the possession or under the control of that person, remain secure. Furnish that information he or she has with regard to that plant, propagating material, substance, or other article, or Roman figure 3. Render such assistance that the registrar, employee, or person requires to enable him or her to perform his or her functions in terms of this act. C. Inspect any book, record, or other document and make copies thereof or excerpts from it. D. Save any plant propagating material, substance, book, record, or other document or article which is or might be relevant for a prosecution under this Act and keep it in his or her custody, provided that the person from whose possession or control any record document has been taken may, at his or her own expense and under the supervision of the registrar, employee or person concerned, make copies thereof or excerpt from it. And E, take samples of any plant propagating material, substance or other article used or intended for use in the production, reproduction, breeding, cultivation, processing, treatment, preparation, testing, examining, analyzing, classification, prepackaging, marking, labeling, holding, keeping, packing, removal, transport, exhibition or sale thereof, and of any plant propagating material, substance or other article, save in terms of paragraph B and examine, analyze or classify such examples. 2. Any sample taken in terms of subsection 1E or 6 must A. consist of the quantity or mass determined by the registrar, taken in accordance with the method determined by him or her. B. be taken in the presence of the person in charge of or the owner or custodian of such plant, propagating material, substance or other article, or if such person, owner or custodian is not available, in the presence of any other witness, and the form determined by the registrar must be completed in respect thereof, be packed and identified in such a manner as the nature thereof permits, and D, as soon as reasonably possible, be tested, examined or analyzed in accordance with such method as the registrar may determine or as may be prescribed. And the result of such test examination or analysis must be entered on the form determined by the registrar. 3. A warrant referred to in subsection 1 must be issued by a magistrate who has jurisdiction in the area where the place or premises in question is situated, or where the vehicle is or will be, and must be issued if it appears to the magistrate from information or affirmation or oath that there are reasonable grounds for believing that an article mentioned in subsection 1A and B is upon or in such place, premises or vehicle, and must specify which of the acts mentioned in subsection 1 may be performed thereunder by the person to whom it is issued. 4. A warrant issued in terms of inspection must be executed by day, unless the person who issues the warrant authorizes the execution thereof by night, at times which must be reasonable, and entry upon and search of any place, premises or vehicle specified in such warrant must be conducted with strict regard to decency and order, including A, a person's right to respect for and protection of his or her dignity, B, the right of a person to freedom and security, C, and the right of a person to his or her personal privacy. 5. The person executing a warrant in terms of this section must immediately before commencing with the execution, A, identify himself or herself to the person in control of the place, premises, or vessel, if such person is present, and hand to such person a copy of the warrant, or if such person is not present, affix such copy to a prominent place on the place, premises, or vessel, and B, supply such person at his or her request with particulars regarding his or her authority to execute such a warrant. 6. The registrar or authorized person may enter any place, premises or vehicle without a warrant and search for it, take samples of and remove and any article referred to in subsection 1 if the person who is competent to do so confess to such entry, search, seizure, taking or samples and removal. 7a. The registrar or authorized person who may on the grounds of the warrant issued in terms of subsection 3, enter and search any place, premises or vehicle, may use such force as may be reasonably necessary to overcome resistance to such entry or search. B. No person may enter a port and search any place, premises or vehicle unless he or she has orderly, Roman 1, demanded admission to the place, premises or vehicle, Roman 2, identified himself or herself, Roman 3, notify the occupant of the purpose of his or her entry unless such person is upon reasonable grounds of the opinion that any article may be destroyed if such admission is first demanded, such identification communicated and such purpose is first notified. 8. if during the execution of a warrant or the conducting of a search in terms of the section, a person claims that an article found on or in the place, premises or vehicle in question contains privileged information and refuses the inspection or removal of such article, the person executing the warrant or conducting the search must, if he or she is of the opinion that the article contains information which is relevant to the investigation and that such information is necessary for the investigation or hearing, request the magistrate who has jurisdiction to authorize the seizing and removal of that article for safe custody until a court of law has made a ruling on the question whether or not the information in question is privileged. 9. A warrant issued in terms of the section may be issued on any date and remains in force until A. It is executed, B. It is cancelled by the person who issued it, or if such person is not available, by any person with similar authority. C. The expiry of 1 month from the day of its issue, or D. The purpose for which the warrant was issued no longer exists, whichever may occur best. 10. If no criminal proceedings are instituted in connection with any plant propagating material, subject, book, record, or other article or document seized in terms of subsection 1 or 6, or if it appears that such plant propagating material, substance, book, record, or other article or document is not required at the trial for the purpose of evidence or an order of court, that plant propagating material, substance, book, record, or other article or document must be returned to the person from whom it was seized. That is clause 42.
Is it a person that will go into that premises or is an officer? So what, because here why is it that a person? And I'm not sure whether in terms of the other legislation of the which governs police and yeah, is it? So if I get clarity on that. Yes. Because you say a person, if maybe the warrant is you get that, and then who is going to use this person? Is it a person, whether it's a register or any other official, or it must be official? So that, yeah.
If I may, Chairperson, but also the Department for Practical Purposes may come in. If we look at 42.1, in this instance, it's an enabling provision that empowers the officer of the department as mentioned there when it's for purposes of performing their functions in terms of the act, that for their purposes they may have the same powers as those that are given to police officers in terms of the police act. But in this instance, it's a warrant that warrants them and enables them to go and inspect the premises as may be necessary. So if we look at 42.1, it mentions that it's the registrar, an employee or an authorized person who will then have to execute that warrant, which will be issued by the magistrate. Yes, Chairperson, it is, and as it is provided in legislation, this provision would be an enabling provision to give them that empowerment.
I'm not sure, it's just that this thing of searching people's places, it must be, people must be by designated people who is an inspector. Because if you don't have an inspector doing it, any other person can do it that I have been designated. It can be abused. And it probably means that for you to do, you must be people who are designated as inspector in the department who must specifically perform this task, so that you don't have everybody being authorized and that they come and they say they were authorized, they start searching,
Because, you know, in the earlier presentations, I don't know whether it was for this plant improvement or it was a breeder's drive, where they say a fetch without a warrant. But I think for us not to be in trouble, where you can fetch without, if you are an inspector, you don't need a warrant. That's your job. You'll have to identify yourself as you enter the premise, and then you can fetch at any time. But if you then anybody can become an inspector, then that I think can create a bit of a problem.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes, I'm also worried about possible abuse of the system with regard to the inspection part of the bill. And please allow me to go back to Section 41. It was passed so quickly that I was still thinking when it was passed already. But let's go back to that. And what worries me with regards to that section is the fact that the registrar, in his oversight or her oversight authority, has unfettered power. They can come and go as they wish. They do not have to give a notice as long as they do the inspections within office hours. Now, I've been wondering whether we could include a section with regards to access to premises during office hours to be requested rather than officers rocking up and doing the search. And in the case of premises that are not occupied during office hours, as it stands now, even if it's not occupied, and as long as it was in office hours, the registrar or his designated person can go in. What about including a section then that says that in cases like that, there should be a warrant? That is the one part of my concern. The second part relates to Section 42, and it refers to the power given to the inspector or registrar or whatever to seize any document that or record or book. You can inspect and make copies. Shouldn't we state specifically that this should be limited to documents, records, etc., limited to the Act and limited to inspection? Thank you.
Legal team and department. Yes?
What we have in 41 and 42 are two different things. And 41 is inspection of premises that are registered. So these premises and the people on it, they are inspected during office hours to make sure that they comply with the requirements of the Act. If you give prior notice, then the inspection would most probably be useless. The second one is where there's when the registrar has a suspicion that some of the things in the prescribed by the Act is happening without those premises being registered. So there you need a warrant of arrest, and the warrant of arrest will specifically state what the registrar may do at the what the magistrate will in the warrant specify what may be done at the space. The reason why the registrar or the employer an authorized person is because it's a specialized search. It can't be the police or anything, anybody else. So that is why it is the registrar. Employees defined and authorized persons also defined in terms of the Act.
Yeah, no problem. I think we can agree, but you know, it's just that people are problematic, and you know, there is no goodwill out there, unfortunately. You know, we're dealing with an innocent thing, you know, with plant improvement is in Lesson Innocent is a tree, or whatever plant that might be. But, you know, unfortunately, those who are doing business by its nature, it's not, you know, they are not saints, these people who are in business. And they don't always wish each other well. And others can even be malicious. Get people who can become officials or even have officials in government who will come and harass you while they don't have the authority to do that. That's why I'll be more comfortable with people who go to people to check whatever. They must be designated and they can produce something that shows this is an inspector from this department who's doing this. It's not any other person. Otherwise, you know, you sit with problems. But it's not a breaker that we can't go to the next item. But I thought we should try as far as possible to make sure that we protect these people who are engaged in this activity. Okay. Thank you.
Because you are saying in this case it will be a registrar or employee. But if I just, then the continuous paragraph, let's say person, that's where the confusion is. Because if it's the register and its employees, they are designated, which responds to the question of Honorable Matari. But if you continue just say person in your paragraph, it then brings a condition. So can we then correct that? Okay.
No, just one quick point. When we got an answer on the authorized person, designated authority and so on, you said to us those are defined in the definition section. And you even said because it's a specialized area, we therefore require specialized people, police can't do it and so on and so forth. But if you go to the definition, it does not say anything about specialized people or anything. It only refers to that section. That section does not say anything about specialized and so on.
Okay, can you? Yes? Talk to your mic.
In terms of section 3.1, minister will appoint the registrar following a recruitment process. So the registrar that's appointed is going to obviously be someone who's competent to act as the registrar. In terms of section 3.5, thank you. The registrar may delegate to any competent employee or subject to approval of the minister delegate to a person other than an employee the performance of any function entrusted to the registrar. So when that delegation happens, the registrar has to delegate to someone who is competent and can fulfill the responsibilities of the office of the registrar. Hence, when you refer to the registrar in 42.1, registrar and employer, an authorized person, that person has got to be competent to carry out those inspections. I've also been advised by my colleagues that no inspection will happen without identification. That's the norm. And those are issues that further, Chair, we could regulate in terms of the regulations and our internal processes in the department. Thank you.
I think the question that is raised is that in the definition, you have not referred to those specialized. You then explain what you mean by specialized. If I get it correctly, Honorable Mumalu. The question is, you are referring to a specialized people, but you have not given the definition of what is that specialized people that you are talking about. So can we, for me, not a transmission, you can just define it. Yes. Okay. We're not doing well with Chan, but we're doing a good job. So we'll have to adjourn at some point when the other committees enter in the room. So because we are doing a good job, so I will not actually pressurize you to move faster. Can we continue?
We move to floor 43 and chapter 13, import of plants and propagating materials. Sub 1, plants or propagating material of a kind of plant declared in terms of this Act may only be imported into the Republic. A, in compliance with all relevant legislation for the consignment content. B, if the importer has a certificate of registration in respect of the business and premises contemplated in Section 12, unless exempted in terms of Section 19. C, if the plant of propagating material A is of a variety and denomination which is listed in the regional variety list or the regional variety list. Roman 2, complies with the prescribed requirements. Roman 3, is packed or prepared in a container which is sealed and branded, marked or labeled in the prescribed manner with the prescribed information. And 4, is imported through a prescribed port of entry or such other places as the registrar may determine. Sub 2, if the plant or propagating material is not packed or pre-packed in a container in accordance with the requirements set out in subsection 1C, Roman 3, the importer must relabel and submit the plant or propagating material for inspection in order to ensure compliance with the provisions of that subsection. Then 3A, notwithstanding subsection 1, Roman figure 1, the registrar may, on good cause shown and on such conditions, as he or she may determine, give authorization and writing for the importation of a consignment of plants or propagating material which does not conform to all or any of the requirements referred to subsection 1, and a copy of such authorization must accompany the consignment in question. Roman 2, a person who does not have a business and premises contemplated in subsection 1B may import plants or propagating material for own use with the written authorization from the registrar and subject to such conditions as the registrar may specify, and Roman figure 3, the minister may, by notice in the Gazette, determine that any particular kind of plant or propagating material of a particular kind of plant must only be imported with the written permission of the registrar and on such conditions as the registrar may specify in such permission. B. A person requiring the authorization or permission of the registrar in terms of paragraph A must submit an application to the registrar in the prescribed manner. 4. A person importing or a consignment of plants or propagating material must furnish the registrar with such particulars as the registrar may demand regarding such consignment, and such consignment must not be removed from a port or place contemplated in subsection 1B4 unless the registrar has authorized the removal thereof in writing. 5. Plants and propagating materials imported in terms of subsection 1 or 3 must, if the registrar so requires, be presented for examination and sampling at a port or place contemplated in subsection 1B4. 6A, the registrar must determine the manner in which plant and propagating material imported in terms of subsection 1 or 3 must be presented for examination and sampling in terms of subsection 5, and the manner in which the time and place at which the examination and sampling must be carried out. B, the provisions of section 42(1)(e) and 2, subject to the changes required by the context, apply to such examination and sampling and the analysis of such sample. 7A, this section does not apply to the importation of plants and propagating material intended for re-export or for purposes other than cultivation. B. The person importing plants or propagating material in terms of paragraph A must, prior to arrival thereof in the Republic, furnish the registrar with a declaration to that effect in the prescribed manner, and a copy of such declaration must accompany the consignment consent. 8. If plants and propagating materials have been imported contrary to the provisions of this section, the registrar may, 8, taking into account the preference of the importer, order that the plant or propagating material in question must within the period determined by the registrar. Rheumatica 1, be destroyed without compensation. Rheumatica 2, or be removed from the public at the expense of the importer, or B, permit the disposal thereof in the Republic in such a manner as on such condition as the registrar may determine. And that makes clause 44 dealing with importing.
Okay, I know I've asked the question, maybe dealt with it in the beginning, but I just need to again just get the link with this and GMOs, because people keep on asking us questions, so we need to just tell how that the legislation interlink to each other and is there a link there.
Sorry, Chair, I could not locate the chair. thank you for the question. 43.1a does indicate that the importation may only be allowed in when there complies with all other relevant legislation. So at a practical level, there's a process in the department to which the registrar will liaise with the registrar of GMOs to ensure that this seed or propagating material that has been imported, if in fact it is GMO, that has been authorized for cultivation in South Africa. So there is provided for compliance reasons. There's a compliance obligation, and then there's also an administrative system in the department which was already in existence to ensure that nobody escape oversight.
It's just a practical, a person that wants to import GMO feed or anything, will they have to do it via the GMO one and then this piece of legislation, so it will have two processes? Well, I'm asking because, you know, people are very, very full of things with this GMO, so at least we know what practically happens.
If there is separate compliance processes, but remember we also have a permit office that is a centralized point to which these, although it's permits required for different pieces of legislation, it is facilitated through the central permit office.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. We continue to clause 44. Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 44, export of plant and propagating material. 44.1. Any person who intends to export plant or propagating material of a kind of plant declared in terms of this Act must have a certificate of registration in respect of the business and premises where the plant or propagating material has been prepared for export. 2. Plant and propagating material of any kind of plant declared in terms of this Act intended for export from the Republic must comply with the prescribed minimum requirements. 3. If the plant or propagating material for export do not comply with one or more of the provisions of this Act, the exporter must submit an application with motivation to the registrar in the prescribed manner before export. 4. The registrar must consider an application received in terms of subsection 3 and may in writing authorize the export of such consignment subject to such conditions as he or she may determine. 5. The registrar may undertake such inspection of the plant and propagating materials intended for export as he or she may deem necessary, take such samples thereof as he or she may deem necessary and test, examine or analyze the samples, or cause the samples to be tested, examined or analyzed in the manner contemplated in section 42.2. 6. If the inspection in terms of section 5 has been carried out on account of an application received in terms of section 3, the person who has applied must pay to the registrar prescribed fees in connection with such inspection and for the testing, examination or analysis of such samples. 7. If the registrar prohibits the export of the containment of plant or propagating material, he or she must inform the exporter within 14 days of the date of the decision and provide written reasons for the decision. 8. Subsection 1 does not apply to the export of plants or propagating material intended for purposes other than cultivation. That is clause 44.
Yes.
Chair, we move to chapter 14, schemes on... Thank you, Chair. It's clause 45, establishment of schemes. 45.1, the minister may, after consultation with stakeholders and the minister of finance, by notice in the Gazette, establish a scheme for the certification of plant and propagating material of the kind of plants referred to in the notice, with the object of maintaining the quality of plants and propagating material of those kinds of plants, and of ensuring the usefulness for agricultural or industrial purposes of the products derived therefrom. 2. The minister may, after consultation with stakeholders and the Minister of Finance, by noticing the Gazette, establish a scheme other than the specification scheme contemplated in Section 1. 3. The minister may, with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, by noticing the Gazette, establish a scheme contemplated in Subsection 1 or 2, in terms of which assistance out of money appropriated by Parliament for this purpose may be granted to the designated authority. 4. Different schemes may be established for plant and propagating material of different kinds of plants and the requirements for different kinds and varieties of plant and propagating material in a scheme may differ. 5. An organization or association that desires to have a scheme contemplated in Subsection 1 or 2 established must submit an application to the registrar in the prescribed manner. 6. The minister must, in the notice relating to the establishment of the scheme, A, designate the authority which must exercise the powers, perform functions, and carry out the duties conferred upon, assigned to, or imposed upon such authority under the scheme. And B, if the authority referred to in paragraph A is not an employee in the department or a body consisting of such employees, subject to subsection B, provide that such authority must exercise, perform, or carry out its powers, functions, or duties at its own cost and subject to the directions of the registrar, and not have any rights of recourse against the state for costs so incurred. 7. The designated authority must enter into such written agreement with the department that may be prescribed. 8. The minister may, by noticing the Gazette, amend or revoke a scheme established in terms of this Act. 9. The minister may terminate the appointment of the designated authority upon non-compliance with the prescribed requirements and provisions of the scheme, or upon request by such authority. 10. If the appointment of the designated authority is terminated in terms of subsection 9, the minister must inform the authority in writing and must provide reason for the decision. That is clause 45.
I didn't switch all my mic. I'm not sure that's what I was saying.